including the
okay.
MLPC.
Greg, let's have a little.
This is your committee meeting on June 17th, 2008, right? The Planning and Court and Consultation Committee.
Yes.
And Greg and Dave and Oliver and Jack is here, as well as Neil. And with that, I've got this on conference
okay.
mode.
The committee,
more or less collect all of us.
The de facto committee chair calls the meeting to order with four commissioners and five commissioners and two members of the audience. And I hereby turn it over to our executive director, Dean Neil Richardson Jr.
All right. Well, this is an exciting opportunity. Whatever we come away with, I appreciate everybody coming out tonight. The purpose of this preparation meeting is to explore the participatory processes that will provide residents a venue to set priorities for the ANC, or to maybe not set priorities, but certainly inform the priorities around the budget. And I think the knowledge yielded from a community forum like this can inform the policy agenda for the ANC. I think it can provide context for the grant priorities, and I think it also can, as we said, frame the parameters of the budget. I think that an important challenge for ANC 1D will be to identify a process that most commissioners are comfortable with, including how to do outreach. No matter what we walk away with, I think we have to have a clear understanding of our expectation for how each commissioner is going to connect and engage their community the best possible way. Because otherwise, if we have a meeting with the public, we stand a great chance of losing the trust and credibility of the larger community if they don't see a representative public here. So I think we ought to spend a little bit of time on that. I've got an agenda here. I think we can move through it fairly quickly if Jack doesn't fall down and break his leg. And I think that if we can set a foundation, including exploring what our expectations are, I think that, you know, we can decide if this makes sense or not. Everyone's got a perspective. So I'm gonna literally use most of the questions off this agenda. You know, I'll ask some follow-up questions, but mainly I'd like us to keep pretty focused on this. So I'm going to start with Greg, and I'd like to go around the table and just literally ask Greg, what are your expectations for this planning, for the planning meeting that we want to invite the public to?
Oh, let me ask for a clarification. I thought this was the meeting. You're talking about planning a forum?
Yes.
As opposed to this being?
Yes.
That's better.
Let me clarify that. Rather than invite the public in, before we had an agreement on the design and the process for outreach, I proposed last week or a couple days ago when Dave sent out an email that instead of trying to invite a lot of the community in without doing the proper outreach, that we should sit together and just come to an agreement on what outreach looks like and what the process for the meeting looks like. And, you know, are we going to provide information for the community when they come in? Who's going to provide the context for the meeting? So if we're talking about the issues that we want to have, who's going to decide on what the list of issues are that we're going to present to the community? What context or how much context do we give people sitting in the audience? Do you talk about the jitney and then Dave talks about the transportation plan? I think those things ought to be agreed upon before we try to make that up as we go along in front of 25 or 50 of our neighbors. Does this still make sense?
That was different from what I expected. Greg, if you want to. So we're planning another planning and consultation committee meeting.
Well, I've seen lots of meetings where if we do not have a consensus amongst ourselves about what we're doing, the public will think that we are lazy bumps because they expect us to have put put the homework in ahead of time to at least come to some general consensus on what we want to do. And by consensus, I don't mean majority plus one. I mean 50% plus one. I mean that we have actually thought about it and that we have a set of ideas that that we think are substantial enough and are at the core of many different perspectives in the neighborhood that it is a it is an inviting room for our party. Party of discussion and ideas. I have made a number of comments about what I think the eventual form should be, and it's the last thing that I sent out in terms of a tier, since the resolution is for goals and priorities, not just goals. I have suggested a four-tier system, that is, that if you will go to my stick and scroll down to the bottom, you can see. I actually think that that for Mount Pleasant, meetings, big meetings, will not attract more than about representatives of about 20% of the population. And I get that number not only from my personal experience, but from a survey published by the Brookings Institution of similar groups, and it takes a long time to build up larger participation. So as one of the suggestions there that we, as a program-like approach, information and ideologues and dialogues, leveraging the most effective mechanism for each substantial demographic group, so that we not just have one a meeting that will appeal to the better educated and more experienced people, but also to those that are daunted. That we not just advertise it with the web, but we use many different approaches and we think about that. So that involves some thinking between starting at this meeting, and I'm proposing that we decide that we're going to take our time and do this in a way that that appeals to every substantial demographic in the neighborhood.
Jack, how did does this make sense to you? Does it make sense that we're having a prep meeting for a?
Oh, I think it makes sense to have the preparation meeting because I think there are serious problems with this way of approach. And Greg said, there are people in this neighborhood who will be daunted, who will not come out. Mm-hmm. There are people who won't come either because they don't have time or because they don't want to get into public disputes and they're not comfortable taking on the neighborhood activists. Mm-hmm. As one resident told me last week, the only way you're going to get a good Latino turnout is to have a Spanish language meeting, where Spanish is the language. And we provide interpretation for those of us who are language limited. But you've got to provide an environment where they are really comfortable. And now you've got to do that for every group in the neighborhood.
I disagree with that.
I invite these folks to come up to the table. I mean, this is a committee meeting, right? Which means that a committee meeting is supposed to be inclusive of the public.
Yeah.
Join us.
Yeah.
Olivia, Albert, come on. And that's why this is on conference mode, so that it'll pick up everybody. This is not just for commissioners.
No.
But anyway, so the notion of putting together a meeting, which is going to somehow appeal to everybody, won't work. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to look at a succession of meetings addressed, idealized, optimized for each group, which is a pretty substantial exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the people in my part of the neighborhood, you don't have to worry about, they're going to come out. as Dave will tell you, I mean, they're as you know, mm-hmm. we've got the neighborhood activists. We hear from them anyway. The hard part here is to reach out to the people who aren't part of the system, who don't know how to call up the council member and get things done, who don't know how to call up us to get things done, and hear from them. Mm-hmm. And even having done that, we have to recognize that in the end, we individual commissioners are responsible for our districts. Mm-hmm. I can't be guided by what's appropriate for Greg's district or Oliver's district. I'd be guided by what's appropriate for my district. Now, I understand we have to make
make our decisions based on what is the viewpoint of what is best for the district as a whole, and I do that. Sometimes challenging my own constituents. Mm-hmm. But I can't take direction according to what Greg's constituents think is right, or Oliver's constituents think is right. I will take their opinions into account, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's my responsibility, and I'm the one who faces the voters in November.
I think, as I understood the original idea for this, as proposed by Dave, was to get together and agree on kind of a legislative agenda. It doesn't mean that that's the only thing.
Hold it right there. Mm-hmm. We are not a legislative body, mm-hmm. and we are not an executive body. Mm-hmm. Our job is to represent the neighborhood to district agencies mm-hmm. and this district council. We are representing the people to the government. We are not mm-hmm. part of the government, even though we are formally district employees, whatever. Mm-hmm. We are not really the government, and you can't look at this as having a legislative agenda. This is where I get in trouble with some of Greg's goals, mm-hmm. because I may agree with them. Mm-hmm. But our job, our primary job, is to respond to what the government agencies are doing in our neighborhood, or planning to do in our neighborhood, and try to guide that to the advantage of our own residents. Mm-hmm. So we're really more a reactive advisory body than we are an initiative sort of body.
So point taken.
Okay.
I was going to say that we were going to have this meeting so that we could somehow come up with an agenda we would come up with a list of priorities that would help frame our budget that we're going to do. Does that still make sense? That doesn't.
As you know, we don't have much of a budget. Mm-hmm. The budget is there to sort of sustain our regular operations, like rental for this space, mm-hmm. Purchasing supplies. Sending Greg to the training sessions that he likes. We don't really have a budget that is aimed at going out and doing things for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, but we have sort of an operational budget, really, not something that it isn't as if we've got millions of dollars which we can then designate for purpose A, purpose B, run the neighborhood. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not quite sure where. What we talk about when we talk about optimizing the budget for whatever purpose.
Right.
Well, I feel bad about it. I don't want to get in the way of Dave's turn, but I do want to react and say that I think we are part of the D.C. government. We are. The ANCs are part of the D.C. charter, and so is a different, but I think it should be equal branch. Of the D.C. government. We are not restricted to reactive mode. We have the power of initiative, of inquiry, of something very close to subpoena, where we can look at things and do more. Now, while we're only given great weight for our reactions, I think we have the responsibility to look out for, as the only democratically elected group in this neighborhood, to look out for the best interests of everybody, and in particular to suggest modes that will deal with issues that that we have been repeatedly told by the D.C. government they don't have time to think about individual neighborhoods. Withhold the rest of my reactions.
Let me ask a question pertinent to exactly that. How does this relate to our ANC budget?
I believe that we ought to direct our budget and hire staff to look at the challenges that we face and to think about, for example, a green Mount Pleasant. Dave's goals on this and mine, I think, are probably pretty well aligned. We differ. I'm not sure. I don't know. We may differ on other things, but on that, and we have an opportunity because we are not an executive or other things, but I think we have the responsibility to see what's going on here and to pressure the DC agencies to advise them, to nag them, to do the right thing with regard to the problems and opportunities that we face.
Dave, why don't you chime in?
What was the question?
What do you think?
Yeah, what are you thinking? If we were to have a community forum to have the public come in and help provide context for how the budget should be formed or the priorities for this ANC, does that still make sense to you? Would that be useful?
Well, it makes sense in that the idea that I see, you know, everybody has a different idea of what the ANC is. I see the ANC's primary mission to listen to the residents, and we have a lot of problems there because we probably don't even know all the groups that constitute the residents. We probably don't know them, and some of them we don't even know what groups they are. And they certainly don't know us. So these are the, on the edges, the dis or unenfranchised, never enfranchised. Franchisement, I guess, means you can speak to power. So we need to develop these methods. We need to develop mechanisms to communicate. And they must be multimodal because we have a multi-group. So that's, I don't really see this as being driven by the budget. I think I see this as being driven by our lack, our inability to communicate to most of the people.
Let me point out that my newsletter is my way of doing that.
Well, of course it is.
And that's how I reach out to everybody, including those who don't have internet connections.
Of course
including those who don't get involved.
And that's a good
and
method.
It has been very effective.
Yes.
About communication you're talking about. Translation will be your best shot instead of having a meeting nothing but Spanish. When you talked about having a meeting nothing but spoken Spanish, I think that would be a wrong way of going about it. If you have translators, it would be a better shot.
We always have interpretation available. We have had that available for a long time. But in order to make an environment where Spanish speakers are comfortable, the primary language has to be Spanish.
Now I'm going to come to you for one more question. Where is the Spanish representative here? Where is a Spanish representative here?
We have worked hard at
But there is none. And that is the reason why I'm saying that if you want to bring the Spanish over here, without a Spanish representative, don't just go all the way out and have a meeting where the language that's going to be spoken will be in Spanish. Because it's not going to work.
Why not?
Trust, number one.
Big problem. Understand that.
Okay. Because what?
Trust.
Yes.
Belief.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you have a translator by a Spanish person, specific Spanish person, dark skin, dark hair, the whole nine yards.
That we have provided many times. We can do that again.
I think also in providing a translator, there has to be certain equality so that
exactly.
You should actually have to. But I mean, there's lots of strategies and lots of things will not work. And I think 20% is a lot of people to get turned out, by the way. But I think if you want to get involved, then you actually have to get Spanish speakers to present. I mean, it doesn't always have to be the commission. If the commission is not fully represented, which can never be, it's a
cultural thing.
It's nice to invite speakers. That's one. And then with speakers, you can, I mean, part of your work is identifying topics of that do have to do with the government that are of interest to it.
Oh.
I think of an earlier, another strategy is actually asking for a space in somebody's meeting. I mean, the tenants are meeting about the building or finding out when the meetings or I don't want to go only, you know, say, you know, the apartment dwellers. I think there's the same problem. There's a very small number of activists that come. You know, you have to sort of interject yourself a little bit with some of their meetings where they're dealing with big issues. And then you can invite from there somebody to, oh, you know, we went to your meeting, we'd like you to present at the larger meeting when I think you're going to be doing a larger function besides informing yourselves. Creating bridges for the people that come sit here, and then you have a speaker from, you know, Pink Park.
I think it's definitely possible for us to put together an outreach process that would reach all parts of the community. It's going to be a lot of work.
It's something that's very difficult to pull off, as we all know, Jack. We all know you've reached out. We've tried to get there's been a lot of attempts to get Latino ANC commissioners, folks to run for office. Before we sort of get off towards the outreach process, I think we ought to let Oliver talk. What are your thoughts on this? Is this a good idea to have a community meeting for the public to help form priorities for the ANC and perhaps inform the budget in some context?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have once in a while a public meeting where we can interact with the community and also hear from the community as to what are the problems we are facing, problems that probably we as ANC were not able to see. You know, we have to get to the people and then, you know, hear from them. You know, we have been, of course, during our ANC meetings, we have been having limited interaction with the people. You don't have enough time to actually discuss issues that they want to discuss. So I think it's a good idea if we can have, you know, a public meeting where we interact with the community. But then I have an issue as to how will those meetings be regulated in terms, you know, of getting out of hand, how are we going to deal with those meetings?
Yeah, I mean, the Woodner is the perfect case of, the only way you're going to communicate with the people at the Woodner is to have a meeting at the Woodner. No meeting here is ever going to get significant representation.
Even at the Woodner, so when there are not many people come.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not many people. There are over 1,000-something people there.
4,000.
4,000. But when meetings are called, you find probably less than 50 people attending those meetings. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how we are going to get the community actually to respond to our call for a public meeting.
Mm-hmm. One way, we may have to, this may be an opportunity for the ANC to innovate a process for engagement. For example, Greg did a study circle meeting with some neighbors over on 17th Street. Maybe the ANC, in an extraordinary measure, goes to the Woodner so that people feel like they're being reached out to literally. And maybe some of them will come down, or a representative portion will come down and talk to people. But again, that's kind of an outreach step, but that's one way we could do it. Greg.
I would like to report on this meeting that Jerry Fitzgerald...
Before you do that, I know where you're going, and that's great. But when Joe Esparza was commissioner, we tried having meetings at the Woodner.
Yes.
And Joe was not effective at getting people to come. So it requires a real effort, even inside the Woodner, mm-hmm. to get people to come.
How many people came then? 10?
To what meeting?
Yeah, less than 10.
To the meeting?
With the Woodner.
Well, what we did was we set aside the regular ANC meeting. Uh-huh. We went to a police meeting there, thinking that was something that they're all hot about. Mm-hmm. We had four or five Woodner residents, mm-hmm. and of which all but one, were members of the Woodner Building Association Board.
Sure.
But let me and I'm working with the Woodner Building Association because they made us, when I organized the Woodner, I had 120 people. They were really big meetings because I really went out and spent a huge amount of time talking to people all over the wood, just standing in the lobby, engaging with people, and they came out. But then the people that we got on the board made the mistake of pulling into themselves as a little group, and they didn't continue the committee meetings, and so on. And so they lost that momentum. And a lot of the people that I go up there occasionally, and the people stop me in the hall and say, what happened? I mean, we had all these hopes, and then this group of clowns don't come out and engage with us anymore. So they have similar problems. I wanted to mention, Jack has already heard this, but the Jerry Fitzgerald contacted Jack about an issue. Jack said, why don't you call Greg? I talked with him, And they said, wow.
That's otherwise known as throwing them to the wolves.
Yes. So I went over and it turned into a two-hour meeting because they had had all these questions and so on. They've been activists. They're very well educated. They volunteer a lot for various civic activities. And they had an incredibly inaccurate and prejudicial view of what the ANC is doing and what it can do and so on. And at the end of that, they said, this is really astonishing. So they invited, the Fitzgeralds invited, seven people over that they considered to be activists. And it wasn't just on 17th Street. It was in a couple of block radius. And they had the same kind of effect. Essentially, none of those people do you ever see at ANC meetings, with one exception that Jim Dickerson came to one meeting. And they said that they had heard enough about the ANC that they would never come to a meeting, or even a committee meeting, or a public forum. At the end of it, they said, you know, we need to have a series of meetings like this, because it's going to take three or four two-hour sessions, two or three more two-hour sessions, for us to go through and understand more of what's going on. And I called Jerry Fitzgerald later, and he said he had gotten feedback to see where they said that that meeting, because we spent time, conversational time with people so that they got an understanding. They had to build their own model. They said that that was the most substantial meeting they've ever been to in the neighborhood. So it's going to take, if we're really going to engage with people, at least these are opinion leaders. They may not be activists, but it's a different kind of group. They're not the bullies of the neighborhood. These are the workers.
Let me point out the location of this. Jerry Fitzgerald's right here on this corner, 17th and Newton. So he's right at the edge of Jane's district, and right across the street is Oliver's, and mm-hmm. Cat Corner is mine. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of the area that you're talking about.
And he had people from my district, from Jane's, from your district. There were none from Stormy's district, but there were people. Those seven people were from four of our ANC districts, and I later talked about it with Lillian Perdomo, and she said there is a formal name for what you're doing. It's called a study circle. They are right that it does take four meetings. I talked to others who said that it's similar to what the Iowa caucus does at the beginning, where you go with the opinion leaders, not the activists, the opinion leaders that think deeply about things that are on our respected. And later in the process, they will then bring their neighbors in, because they were sort of scattered. I don't think any of them were living really next door to each other. So this is a process that a lot of people know about that has been proven for decades.
So and this is what we want to replicate now, is that correct?
It seems to me that, I mean, I was astonished. These are people that say they and their neighbors would never come to an ANC meeting, and yet they are not the bullies of the neighborhood, what we call the activists. These are activists. They're active in other things.
How do we replicate that? I mean, Jerry started this one because he is concerned about traffic issues at that location. Much of it led to all.
But then once I got there, they wanted to talk about, I mean, everything is connected in their minds, which is one of the definitions of a neighborhood.
Well, maybe there's a lesson there that you guys didn't really call a meeting. The neighbors themselves call a meeting. This is, again, going to where they're organizing themselves. I think, I mean, it takes a lot of work, but I think you need an image. You need to rebuild your image. Mm-hmm. Why bother going to the ANC?
And people shouldn't have to come to ANC meetings. That's one reason to do a newsletter, so that nobody ever has to come to an ANC meeting.
Or to, why did I go meet with these guys?
You
have to create the enthusiasm for that. And something, people, there's too many meetings in this day and age, and you have to get to what people care about.
And they're not substantial, they're not satisfying.
If you get five people, you've already gained a lot. It's just there's a certain consistency you have to pay. You know, the ANC is doing it again. Five people, next time there's five different people. It's only five.
Also going to make the meeting exciting. Mm-hmm. Got to make the meeting exciting.
But I think speaking of the Woodner, it's important to have the meeting focused on topics which are
of interest. You can't just have a meeting with no topic.
Oh. Yeah.
You've got to have a meeting with topics which you know are going to draw people.
So it sounds like there's consensus that we're not talking about one meeting. We're talking about a process.
Yes.
And it sounds like everybody agrees that a process would be good for the neighborhood and good for the ANC.
I have another little story, and that is that, and this was pressed by Aida Venegas. She said that. And it's in keeping with what several other people have said, is that you can't have a meeting with translators because the culture and mental organization of a meeting for Anglos is different than that of Latinos.
Yes.
And it's different for Latinos than well-educated Hispanics, I'm just saying, or the upper class, because those two groups seldom get along with each other anyway, whether it's here or in their own country. She said that...
It comes from back home.
What?
It comes from back home. The issue comes from back home. It just spills out from here.
Well, I've been doing this with meetings and Latinos in the apartment buildings for a long time, and you can have wonderful meetings that they run where they seem to groove together. There's enough commonality. There are differences, but there's enough commonality that you find very similar things. But it's got to be, as you say, run by them, with them. And one of the hallmarks of this other meeting is that I went in with a list, and they asked a few questions, and occasionally they'd come back to my list, but mostly the issues and concerns were free-floating and determined by them.
Sounds like we're talking about all five of those.
So if we got a Latino facilitator, you know, Lillian Perdomo or someone that she, or one of us, we go out and get someone, at the very least we could get Lillian to manage a meeting like that. We could have a series of meetings. So when we talk about four meetings, do we mean that there's one for the Latino community, one for the West Side college-educated, one for the musicians in the neighborhood? I mean, what do we mean by who gets invited to the four meetings? Is it four meetings on one track? Just, you know, what are we talking about?
I think it's a little troublesome to try to target ethnic groups like that.
Yes.
What's more appropriate is to define topics which will appeal to specific groups, and then let the people choose themselves.
Or let them choose the topics by asking them.
No, but you've got to lead off with a topic. I mean, you have to know what the topics are, but somehow the topic has to be the focal point. For example, choosing a topic which is appropriate for the Latino community will presumably bring out Latinos, right?
Soccer. If you're broad topic,
soccer.
They can find
it. Soccer field.
Yes, that's
the in Oregon. Bring that out here. Okay.
Soccer field.
When we did that survey, Dave, you were at the meeting when we presented the survey. I was astonished how much undercurrent anger there is at the disappearance of that soccer field.
Oh boy, really?
Back there behind Lincoln?
Yeah.
It is huge.
Yeah. They replaced it with a tennis court. Yeah.
Because that group of people had mobilized themselves to put in a. They raised $200,000 for the actual cost of hardware. They put in an irrigation system. There was $500,000 that they worth of labor and that they put in there, and Maria Takeva came in and just ripped it all out.
What would be some other ideas for meeting topics? Soccer field?
I want to say another thing. One of the surprising things about the Woodner Building Association is that they do not have meetings on taboo topics, which are the ones that people really care about. It is really surprising to me that, let me give an example of some topics. One is bed bugs. Nobody wants to admit they have bed bugs in their apartment.
Yeah, I understand that.
And yet, it's a pandemic there, and it's something they're not willing to have a meeting and really talk about. At the other meetings, they sort of comes up indirectly, and a few intrepid people will say something, but largely they don't. Another big issue is that they have a lot of mental, what they call mental neighbors. What? And nobody dare talk about that in direct terms. But the behavior, when they talk to me in the hall, they want to talk about it, and it's a huge issue, and they can't get anyone to talk about it. I won't go through, spend our time, but we have to, And these are issues that the ANC could be talking about because city services are not being delivered. And one of the explicit statements in the legislation for our role is to monitor the quality of delivery of services.
We're addressing city services rather than rats. I don't want to talk about rats or cockroaches in my house, but I want city services. And you have to frame it differently. You know, we're talking about what city services are you doing.
You gotta be directive, but at the same time, be indirective about how to get that part. You know, you have to initiate a meeting about something else completely different.
Well, in
and
a small
while in the meeting,
what surprised me is in the meeting that Jerry Fitzgerald put together with his neighbors, they were willing to say things that none of them were willing to say in a public meeting.
I think that's the key, is the informality. The informality of the session, which sort of implied that nothing said in that meeting was going to find its way to the outside.
In a safe place.
And the safe place. And if you have any kind of large public meeting, those same people will say nothing.
Yeah. Or they won't come because they know. Because our objective, I think, should be not to hold the meetings. It's not the quantity of the input. It is the quality of the results that we need to work on. And that's why when they said, they think, and Lillian's experience is the same, and my contact for the Iowa caucuses say something similar, you need to be willing to have up to 4 2-hour meetings if you're really going to get the needs, the interests, the questions, the slanderous gossip, and so on, taken care of. It just takes time, and getting to that level of satisfaction where people feel like they trust you. You don't need to be perfect, but they matter. What matters is they feel that you're in there trying, and you're really trying to do a good job, and you're willing to listen to them, and you're not above them. You know, you're down with them. It takes a while to do that. Now, I don't think we need to do it with what I think the real number of people in the neighborhood is something like between 15 and 16. Now, so we don't need to do that. But I think we do need to find the ideal leaders, the people that are serious. And they're perhaps, I know more than 1 in 10. So if we say there are 1,000 people that probably are, that we could get access to. Then another thing is that there are 6, I count them 6, including the ANC, 7, neighborhood-wide organizations that pay attention to almost all the issues. Those are dominated mostly by let me use the word discreetly, activists. A lot of them are dominated by bullies. Some people say I'm a... sometimes I am. I struggle with my own racism and fascism. We all have.
Speak for yourself, Greg.
The big difference is between those people who recognize it and those who don't. But there are another 30 or 40 secondary organizations, and I mean like the Woodner Building Association, which is grossly too big. They've got to be organized around halls and so on, and particular topics. There are the Friends of the Library. You know, you can go through, there are all these smaller groups where serious people. Mm-hmm. That have no intent of being bullies, but they simply want to come together and be serious about things within the scope of Mount Pleasant.
There was one in the city paper this last issue, Mount Pleasant Group, the solar co-op. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of groups that already are gathering, and those are nodes that we could start to work with.
Well, it sounds like we're in agreement that a process, you know, of at least 4 meetings would be good with the right facilitator. That connects to look to outreach, too, because we have to get the right people who have credibility with our communities that have been disenfranchised or haven't participated for different reasons. So I think we ought to set that aside. And we're going to talk about outreach, I think, for most of the rest of the meeting. But before we get to there, when we think about having these 4 meetings, what kind of timeline are we talking about?
Where did the number 4 meetings come from?
Well, you were saying whatever the right number is.
Those were the 4 informal meetings with each group, up to 4.
But then you have to multiply that by the for different each, groups.
For how, and yeah, right. for
Well, this is what the Iowa caucus presents, and it is an organizational problem that has been thought about and to some degree addressed.
So this is really reinventing the ANC.
Yeah. Is that possible to do? Can you have four meetings with each group? And who defines the groups? I mean, what are the groups?
It would be an approximation. And what approximation is the question, I guess?
I think we should get started in at least our seriousness. I go back to what I got the sense at the end of the meeting. It wasn't that I'm perfect. In fact, I said, look, my main objective is to try to create the public thing. It isn't for it to be my thing. It's for us to think together and create the public thing. And that kind of humility, I think, was absolutely necessary, that I was a steward of the process and not a leader. So if we do, at the end, I get lost and forget my main point. Excuse me. I think the main thing is that the word gets out that we're trying to do something that's substantial.
Regarding that, how do you see this outreach connecting to your business meeting? I mean, do you really see some serious thought in listening to the people and then from there proposing some resolutions that in the resolution you can give a little, a little quick background of where those ideas came? I mean, I just don't outreach for the sake of outreach where, great, now I came to the meeting. But I think, in the business meeting, it would be interesting to see how that these resolutions really come from the needs in the community as well, from your guidance. I don't know what you thought that, but that should be.
Again, I think we've got to define what forum we're talking about. Are we talking about, 40 groups with 40 meetings for each group? Are we talking about having one meeting to help inform the agenda and the budget, which is what we originally kind of sat down to do? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that it would consume everybody's time to have four meetings with a whole bunch of different groups, however many, even five groups would be a lot. So what's realistic? How can we, are there steps that we could do that isn't, the full 100% approach that still helps us feel confident that we know what the public voice is?
There's six of us. If we, and I go back to the key idea is that we don't worry about the quantity of input, we worry about the quality of engagement. And it's not just an outreach, that we're outreaching to them, the poor dears, but we're engaging with them equally, as peers, as neighbors, so the feeling of neighbors. And the second idea is that we're trying. This is a big task, and we're going to try to get going groups throughout the neighborhood. I put that down in my list as being something that we ought to try. Where is that?
Jack, can you make it a little bigger?
We encourage the development of grassroots civic groups, apartment buildings, residential clusters, for equitable dialogue of self-help and collective action. And I partially get that from the National Academy of Science has a series of books on neighborhoods, which is research that started 80 years ago in the University of Chicago studying their neighborhoods. And so they have longitudinal database, and there are a lot of people, graduates, in the factor that loads on what makes for the first thing you should know is that neighborhoods tend to fall on a single line of quality. And the factor that explains most of that is a sense of collective efficacy, that people can get together and do something. They're not just daunted. They feel that they can work together to solve their problems. And I think that factor is two or three times larger than any other factor, that should be one of the key things that we, in the long run, are aiming for.
Oliver, what do you think? You've been quiet, and you're always thoughtful. So we could use some of your thought for this, if you've got any ideas. not to, and, you know, not to put you on the spot, but
anything you're thinking.
What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm thinking about how can we really make it a very attractive to the neighborhood, because you're trying to get into the neighborhood, but it's going to be very tough, given that on several occasions, you know, when we meet here, you find that very few people come. We are trying to reach them at all, by all means. How are we really going to get to a number of people, to a large crowd, at least to attend any meeting that we are trying to organize? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. With six commissions, you guys can pretty much target the people that you guys trust most. And because it's all about the word of mouth. Wait, I'm a salesman. I've done sales for a long time. And if you want to sell something, it doesn't matter how good the product is or how bad the product is. It's all about how you sell it to the people that you really want them to spread out. I go to Oliver and I tell him, hey man, I got a real nice, you know, product that it's going to eliminate the water problems that you have, blah, blah, blah. And he might not believe me or anything, but if I sell it to him and it works for him, he's 100% going to be referring to somebody else. And that's what the commissioner has to understand about going out to the community. It starts with the people that you trust the most, your neighbor, whomever, because then from there on, it's not just you fighting for it, but it's also you and your neighbor. And the next thing you know, it's not just you and your favorite neighbor, your best friend or whatever. It's going to be, you know, and so on. Next thing you know, you're going to be where in a position where there's a lot of people coming in because one initiated. And you guys got it by that. You know, I mean, it's going to be tough for the Latino community to come because there isn't really that, you know, approach, if you will. But, I mean, I can think of four different people right off the bat that would help a lot on that issue of bringing the Latino community, you know. So,
because they hold a lot of trust
exactly,
in the community.
Exactly.
And if they call up somebody and ask them to show up, they'll show up, you know.
And it's also, again, bringing interest to making the meeting somewhat interesting to the public without just, you know, because I mean, I've noticed that people sit there and you just sit there and then all they do is just, they listen. And, you know, they talk amongst themselves sometimes, but they, all they do is just listen. There's no interaction whatsoever between the board and the public on the meetings, and them themselves, that is very little. Because they feel like, okay, I'm here, they are there, and if they bring friends with them, they'll be talking amongst themselves, you know, but it's like we'll be, the Latino guys will be talking to themselves, mm-hmm. and the whites will be talking to themselves, and, you know, our people from the 18th Street will be talking to themselves, mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean, and so on and so on. And we have to find a gap on that where people from 18th Street will be talking to the people on Lamont Street and they'll be, you know,
right.
just conversating, communicating with each other, and next thing you know.
Oliver.
Yeah, yes, what you're saying is true, but, you know, giving the example of Woodna itself, you know, the Woodna Board Association, right? Sometimes you talk to people that, you know, we have a meeting maybe next week. Mm-hmm. Notices are put almost visible to anybody who is using the elevator, you know. But disappointingly, you find that when the day comes for that meeting,
yeah.
very few people come.
But uh-huh.
Very few people.
Done.
Even if, like the other time, they put in notice that we're going to discuss issues of security, which concerns every resident there. But nobody
thinks. Think about this. A flyer is like a bill coming to your house that you don't want to see it. That's what that is.
Junk mail.
When I come to you and I talk to you person to person, I'm going to get more across to you than any flyer will ever.
Rats and bed bugs always work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even at the winter, because they don't engage. But there's I can talk another time about that, because it's sort of my It's one of my children.
It's a
denial. I'm trying to make sure that it grows up and lives on its own.
But why don't we talk about engagement for the next 15 minutes or so? I mean, what engagement in Mount Pleasant should look like, particularly as for the commissioners. Like, what does good engagement look for Jack and for you and for you? So that, you know, whatever meeting process or whatever forum we have, we begin to sort of think about what comes up not only throughout this meeting, but I've had a lot of conversations with Greg. I know that Jack and I know it's come up with Jack when we had our meeting with Jack, with the three of us over at your house, is how do you do outreach? And the thing that I sort of talked about clumsily in my email about how we hold each other accountable, what I really meant to say is, what if you do great outreach and you connect with all the different groups that are in your SMD, but then Jane doesn't do it or Greg doesn't do it? You've pumped out a whole lot of people, but now all of a sudden we have a public that's come out for a meeting and it's crippled because somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do, what the group agreed was a good outreach.
Or if you get to the meeting and you're having this topic and David decides to take over, and you know, the committee says, well, I came to talk. Right. That kind of opinion.
How can we create a balanced public is really the question. Greg?
I think it's a great question. The first thing I want to say in response to the previous is that I have concluded that we cannot expect our business meetings to serve two different purposes. Yeah. And that our business meetings do attract and gain respect if they're run well, if they're efficient, if people are cordial to each other, if there's people with a sense that we've done our homework and the like, well, then it's an interesting show. And people don't mind coming and just seeing craftsmanship, creativity, good civics at work. Because you seldom see that, and politics has a very bad name. To answer, so I say we need to divide if we're going to conquer this problem. So we have an excellent built business meeting, and we're getting there. You can see that in the quality of reactions that we're getting. But secondly, that we need to complement that with some other kinds of engagements. Now the research, because I always like to do research on these questions, is that the crux is that an individual goes to a meeting and is encouraged to speak and helped to speak. They are not daunted. There's no sense that they are being judged. And they have a sense of attaboys because they have gotten out their thinking and that sense of personal efficacy, and that people are listening, and that there are consequences to it, that there's a process where those thoughts eventually get into a system, and they can see that in at least a word in some ANC resolution. And hopefully then a response where that word is addressed, or part of the idea is addressed by a DC agency, at least it's addressed. That is the magic chain of a sense of personal effectiveness, which then adds up to this long-term, longitudinal research result of a sense of neighborhood effectiveness. So we need to change, I think, and specialize. The other result that came out of the study I often quote called The Rebirth of Urban Democracy, where they found five cities that were doing it well. San Antonio, Minneapolis, in Atlanta, but let me jump to the conclusion, is that unfortunately, even at the end of the 5 years that they looked at this process where there were major changes in the behavior of people, and they came from thinking that this is a load of crap to thinking this is really a great process, the individuals could not, almost all the individuals could not speak in a larger forum. They only could speak and feel that efficacy in their smaller forum, where people were like them. And so it was necessary for those smaller forums to be connected to larger forums. You can't expect people in 5 years to develop the skills and overcome their fears that have accumulated over a lifetime. I think we can do that. And that's back of one of my proposed objectives, strategic intents for the ANC. And we that we sponsor that kind of process.
We don't want to have, you don't want to do just a snapshot sort of engagement where you go in, you just do something real quick. There's a process. And what you're talking about is creating an environment where new people from all parts of the neighborhood feel comfortable coming to a meeting, because we all know, or probably haven't forgotten, it's scary to come into a meeting when you haven't talked about public issues before. And so when we're talking about getting these people of trust, like the four people you can come up with off the top of your head, we need those kind of people. So let's say we get those four people, we get other credible people in the neighborhood that sort of begin actually doing the hard work of calling people up and say, hey, there's a process that the ANC has started where we really want to get a continual, there's a continual input process where people can constantly have a way to get their ideas expressed. Part of it's the website. It sounds like that one of the ideas about the website, but we also know there's a divide between who's got access and who's comfortable using that. So that's just one sliver. But if we could create, the challenge will be to do what the website does, but to do that in real people power on the street, so that it doesn't matter if you can go to the internet and our website. There's people that are actually sort of walking websites. They can go and shake their hand and say, hey, there's a meeting tonight. It's the second Thursday every month. It's at the restaurant. We're going to have some free beer and some music, and we're going to talk for an hour about priorities for the neighborhood. And there's going to be at least two or three commissioners there. Not all of them, but there'll be at least two or three. And that could be the goal of the ANC, but something like that.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is what I've noticed is, and please do think this the way it is. I mean, wrong or right, that's when I say it just like it is. When people come in here with issues, okay, and they want to talk about it, nobody ever goes back to them. In other words, they're over here, they talk about their issues when they have the time to, and when they don't have the time to, they haven't walked in the first 15 minutes of the meeting, they want to talk about it, and they say, no, we sorry, but it's not open to the public anymore, and nobody gets back to that person. And that one bad thing said about anybody or anything is worse than 100 good things said about the same thing. Because, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Gossip goes around so far, and if it's bad, it's going to spread like there's no tomorrow. If it's good, it's only going to go so far. And you have to keep that very positive, always positive. I mean, a phone call or anything. Just, hey, I'm whomever, so-and-so, and I'm the commissioner, and I'm calling on concern of what you talked about. Sorry you couldn't talk about it in the meeting, but I'm interested. I just want to talk to you about it. And yeah, he's going to probably yell at you and then dish out, the whole thing at you. But just listen to what he has to say. That's all.
I think one way Jack does it is your newsletter, but it's generally not done well.
The important point in there is that it's got to be the individual commissioner for that district.
Exactly.
When you come to the ANC and you got six commissioners, whatever, that's not the right forum. But the commissioner,
right,
to whom that person is a constituent, is the one who ought to be following up.
Absolutely.
And the people ought to understand that if they got issues, they're really best off bringing it up to their commissioner rather than to the commission.
But a lot of people don't realize that.
That's right. A lot of people don't realize that.
And that's why we have to really emphasize. Again, it has to be, it's, in Latino thing, it's definitely a culture thing. Okay. It's also a fact of that they just don't know. And the other cultures, I don't know, but you said it, hit it right in the head. People just, they want to talk to things about, on Greg's section, I'm sorry, Greg. They'll go to Zane and talk to her about, oh no, that's not the section. We'll talk about it, blah, 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 blah. And somewhere along the line, he gets lost.
It could be affinity groups too. So if some commissioner is really close and empathetic with a particular group,
that's right. We've got to send that message that if people have concerns, their starting point is their commissioner.
Right. We are here for you. Okay, we are here to listen to what issues that you have.
But we've got to make it easier for people to reach their commissioner.
Right. Phone numbers, emails, you know, anything. Anything that makes it easier.
Or just on foot around the neighborhood.
Exactly. Flyers. Put flyers around the post, you know. With, I mean, I know that...
with all the contact information and an invitation to contact.
You really want to hit... You want to hit a lot of people, information boards, in the business.
We passed a resolution, but didn't follow up. It'd be something I'd like to get staff to follow up. It's too dinky for Neil. Where we would set a four places in each district and set up a bulletin board where we would have not only our notices but other notices, and it would be, and it, because it was fixed, people would go to it when they were out walking or something, and they would probably, they would go and see what's going on, because it would be a place for those that don't get on the internet, or when they do, they have other things they're interested in, to go out and to see things.
I think you're right, it'd be wonderful, but it's going to be a long time, Katie, to have me four kiosks and everybody has things.
My kiosk,
but,
just
let me finish. We've got streetlight poles all over the neighborhood. We can use them. We can use them as bulletin boards.
Right.
We don't have to wait for a formal bulletin board thing to be set up. We can use what we've got.
Oh, I'm just talking about a...
I know, but it's not there. And I'm saying we can do it right now. Yeah. Using
okay, well, I accept your point that we should start on it. But I hope you would accept the idea that if that a minimal distinction would also attract more attention.
Oh, I'm not disputing that for sure.
I also think that if it's your start, in a start point, if you really want to make an impression in the neighborhood, Mount Pleasant Street, 90% of people that come to Mount Pleasant Street to do business in the neighborhood, right? And they can come here to buy groceries, their beers, their whatever, right? Dentist, whatever. Talk to the owners and have them talk to their customers for you. Approach them and win them for you. Get them on your right side. You know, and that is a very good beginning to go and start developing that relationship with your neighbor. Because you get the business going, and the business will be able to go and talk to their customers, you know, and you have your best friend or your best neighbor, and now it's not just best neighbor, but it's also the business. And the guy might not even live in Mount Pleasant, but he does business in Mount Pleasant. You know, I mean, a lot of people that do business, that have business in Mount Pleasant, they don't live in Mount Pleasant. Some in Maryland, some in Virginia. You know.
And to tag onto that, it's not just the businesses, it's these other 40 organizations that Greg talks about, the seven established ones. What is our communication pattern with these other civics in the neighborhood, whether it's a building association or MPNA or Main Street? How do we communicate? Is there a formal process? Obviously, we've got a website, we put out our newsletter, but do we really know that they're getting it?
And the other thing is, if there is a website, but the website is not working properly, that's a minus on your guys. And you got to stay away from that okay. Mindset.
I would hazard that that the other six general, I'll call them the general civic groups, have somewhat polarized relationships with the ANC. All of
it can be restarted. It can be.
Seriously polarized.
Yeah, but it can be restarted. All it has to do is they have to see a change. That's all.
But Greg's alluding to one of the critical issues we've got here. Is that we've got very disparate groups in this neighborhood. Some of them are just never going to agree.
But you know what? You don't need them all to agree. You need some of them.
They're not even going to agree with, if we, to the degree that we are really representative of the whole of the neighborhood and the interest of the neighborhood, we will be sufficiently different from the six. Each of the six has to be to the point of some polarization. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just our role. And we should do, and we need to accept some of that and try to, but still try to overcome it.
Well, let's not fight it. Let's not fight them.
But with the 40, we have a better chance because they seldom have established positions on the issues that we're dealing with.
So what, I mean, is it possible to do that? I mean, is there an interest in, is, can that, you know, is that like what, having four meetings for each of the groups? Is that month in and month out, is that too hard to do?
Well, once you get the relationships of trust going, then you just, I find that you just get a lot of calls. And it can be, it trickles down to once or twice a month, perhaps, and it can be short once you've established a common basis. The expensive part in any communication link is laying the lines.
Given how much it's on your plate, I mean, it seems like a lot of these groups are going to be on the east side of the neighborhood. That's going to leave it up to you with you know, not a whole lot of time to then engage probably 20 of these four groups. You know, probably Jack and Dave probably, you know, have a handful of unknown groups, you know, or so, I mean,
you're right.
So it's going to change your fundamental work.
25 and 30 of them are based in the east side.
Which is three of the commissioners.
It's amazing. You know, you guys are on one ANC.
It's,
I mean, there are six branches of people. You guys are one ANC, and you guys got to work together.
I think it really is up to the individual ANC to reach out to his the people in his district, which is it's a real burden.
But Jack.
And yeah. I can see where. I appreciate where Greg is going on these circle meetings. It's not my style, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what works for me. Mm-hmm. And what works for me isn't necessarily what they want to do. Mm-hmm. We each have our individual styles. I think there's a strong message here, is that we all, as individual commissioners, have to do a better job of making ourselves open to communication with our constituents.
Smart point. Jack, once you feel the love from one of these groups, whether they appreciate and someone coming and talking with them, you may be seduced into becoming a performer.
You should see what happens to me when I go around my district with my newsletter. People are so pleased to get my monthly newsletter. They love it. I know what you're talking about. This is my way. It works for me. It may not be what anybody else wants to do, but it works for me.
Well, I can just say that in the apartment buildings, this is one of the things that, places like the Business Association or Main Street or what, so on, they don't get it. That it is not an organization. It's the networks of trust that are built up over a long period of time. You just don't come in and say, "Hi, I'm from the ANC. Trust me."
And I'm here to help you. I'm from government. I'm here to help you.
Listen to all this. I get the impression that we want to keep our business meetings just like they are,
yes,
and maybe do something else on the side.
Yes.
Is that right?
We can still improve our business meetings, but
I
think they're pretty good.
Participation from the public in business meetings works. Well, I know Jack does.
Yeah, I would. I don't want to see people in the audience taking over meetings and making themselves into self-appointed commissioners. I see that when I go to a lot of other ANC meetings, and as a member of the audience, I hate to see the time taken up by people in the audience whom I don't know, who don't want to anything, but they have their hot ideas spouting off.
It's called listening, Jeff.
But they are not elected representatives of the community.
No,
I have no idea how much weight to give to them. They are simply individuals.
They're residents, Jeff.
That may be, but there are thousands of residents.
And you should listen.
They should be listened to equally, right. Not the ones who show up.
Thank you, Jeff.
Instead of having this one thing, okay? Instead of having the first 15 minutes of the meeting for the public, why don't you make a 15 minutes in the middle somewhere, so when everybody's here, you know, or a 3 minutes every 15 minutes, or something like that. So just so they can have some kind of say.
We allow them to talk before they know what we're going to talk about, because we never tell them. It's a secret.
It's not a secret. We don't know.
They need to.
It's a secret.
A lot of people don't know.
They don't know what they're talking about.
And then we don't allow them to talk after they know.
I have this conception that I may be wrong, but here's my conception, is that for roughly 25 years, after people discovered the significance of the gerrymandered redistricting almost three decades ago, that a relatively small group of people could control the ANC. And they got used to coming in with activists who became more and more willing and being able to show up in numbers quickly and get their way. So what we have done, and it's taken years to do it, it's 5 years that I've done, since we really started dealing with this actively, we have made it clear that that kind of bullying behavior will seldom work. It still works again, but it seldom works. Now, the second thing that we've done is that we have built a respectable ANC process where it's open, there's no secret meetings, everything is done in open, and we're learning to cope. And it's been a learning curve. But I hear from a lot of people that now they come in and say, wow, you guys are really getting good. Our next challenge is to have people have this chain. And actually, guerrilla warriors do this and all around the world. They come in, find different villages, they talk to people and the like. It's a known process. They do it in Iowa and other places as part of a political organization where you build these networks of activists. And so the ideal that I'm looking for is that the next stage is that we will have people that know us and trust us, and that we know and trust, come to the meetings, deliver resolutions, and are able to talk, and they are not the bullies, they're not the people who come in just to yell at us, they're people that we have an ongoing, continuing discussion, because what is the ANC to? It is not our resolutions that matters, it's our arguments and evidence, and if we're going to be effective at that, and frankly, the follow-through of calls, not from us, but from a lot of other people, if we're going to do that as an effective ANC, then this new process, this third wave, would involve the engagement of those people and their networks as part of a continuing dialogue.
Well, it sounds like what's beginning to emerge is that the process that we were talking about an hour ago really could possibly be the process of our business meetings, where there's more public input. Maybe, you know, tell you, well, go ahead.
It's mostly before and between.
First the guillotine.
And I'm just saying the exclusion of, but and. You know, a good commissioner goes and puts out a newsletter and also talks to the go-to people, the lady on the corner that doesn't go to meetings, but she talks to everybody as their dog walks by. Those are the people that every commissioner presumably should know.
I see a contradiction here. I don't know if it's a contradiction, but there's two things pulling here. On the one hand, I'm hearing each commissioner say, well, I'm going to take care of my people and set my dialogue in. What do I do? And I think Greg is proposing also, well, but one of the things that we have to do is one neighborhood. How do we create networks of dialogue between...
Good point.
Yes.
I see from the outside, commission or no commission, that some of the largest issues that really face this neighborhood is that people who live whatever place, in the apartment buildings, don't trust people over there because
that's
they
right.
don't
very true.
Go. I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know whether that's, but you see, I see two dynamics here.
It is a status issue, basically.
But whatever it is, it's status, it's place, it's
they have cultural
language,
differences.
Whatever.
We don't trust those guys.
Not
that. The other thing I have a concern about is a lot of times, I come to the meeting, and there are issues that come to the table within 24 hours of the meeting. Can you guys put some kind of a stoppage to the point where, okay, if you come to me 48 hours before the meeting, I am not going to have to talk about it this meeting. We're going to talk about it next meeting.
We could have special meetings to cover the instant thing.
Is that okay? Because what's going on is I am having problems with You have to explain that to the person, because if you don't, then the person's going to feel like, okay, you're ripping me off.
Things do pop up with the last one.
But you know, you've got to do something about that, because then, when the people come to the meeting and the issues in the meeting are brand new, you know, and the people see the letter or see the website, and they're like, well, I didn't know that was going on. It becomes an issue for you guys.
Basically, where Greg and I started off, we've got the business meetings, which we really want to have focused as business meetings. The way the city council doesn't open its discussions to everybody. Let me finish. But city council has hearings where everybody can speak up. And that's where we should have our mid-month meeting. A mid-month meeting is not a business. A mid-month meeting is to hear from the public.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about having committees, but that's basically to focus it on particular topics. Nonetheless, I think that should be the policy, that we should always have mid-month meetings, and those mid-month meetings should be for the purpose of people to come and tell us whatever.
What issues are.
You might want to invite some people.
Does that make... Greg, what do you think? What do you
think? Well, I think there's a reality to our current process, but I want to supplement it and speak about... I've just got to stop so much of my life on this. I tried to go into libraries and research, and one study I found of neighborhood planning groups around the world came to this conclusion: the number one predictor of effectiveness is the recruitment of people in the neighborhood who may not be, if they are on the commission or whatever it is, they're not there permanently, but they are the followers of different issues. So you have somebody that really knows the inside of the police or fire department and other things. And they develop excellent gossip networks. So they know about these issues ahead of time.
Talk about network.
They can inform some of their neighbors, because the issues, when they hit us, it turns out that an agency is going to do something, and they tell us about it the day of, even a few hours before the meeting, because they don't want us to engage. We should, if we do it right, and it's done right in other places, we have people that know about all these different things, and so that we can hear it early, we can be trying to find the experts, if they're not in the neighborhood, friends of people in the neighborhood, and be developing our responses all the way along. I think that the way things are hitting us as a shock wave beforehand is somewhat designed to hit us and hurt us, and it is an indicator that if we're going to go to ANC 3.0, that this should be part of our objective, is finding and recruiting and supporting these kinds of local experts and informants.
And that would help a lot on the bully issues that you're talking about.
What about this mid-month meeting? I think that's... Why hasn't that been enacted on before?
Well, this is a mid-month meeting.
Oh, I mean, this is, and then there was the budget.
We've had one for, I don't know how many months. I can't remember when we had.
Most of
the only 1 month that I have, since I've started, is the only 1 month that we didn't have.
And it goes back to what you were saying before. If the public knew that there was going to be a mid-month meeting, you know, they're finding things out late. They can't schedule their dinners and their soccer practices around it. You know, if there's a scheduled mid-month meeting where the public can come in, and that's where everybody gets a chance to talk, and maybe there's a review of what was talked about in the last business meeting, whatever the process might be. Maybe.
I would support that.
You might want to make it single issues that people do know. Yeah. About something.
But it shouldn't be exclusive. People should be able to come in and talk about
sometimes.
Yeah. Because what I learned at this Jerry's meeting, I'll just call it Jerry's meeting, is that it wasn't that people agreed with what we did so much, is they wanted to be reassured that it wasn't venal or superficial. They wanted to have a sense that we were really trying and digging in deep, and that we had found out a lot of things that they did not know. So the decisions made after the fact still will work to maintain and develop trust.
Let me, another critical aspect of these mid-month meetings, that they should float around the neighborhood.
Good
point. Shouldn't just be here. They should be here, there, or everywhere else, so that we are going to people's neighborhoods, mm-hmm. including to the Widener.
That's right. Yeah, I could host one in my house. Different neighbors could.
My district is easy. Other districts may be harder.
Yeah.
Agreed, so long as the density of meeting locations is approximating the density of the population.
One for SMD and exactly.
So, it's because 80% of the area of Mount Pleasant is the R4 districts, but 80% of the population lives in the eastern. Mm-hmm. So,
what you need to do is set it up inside the apartment houses. Mm-hmm. The only way you're going to get people within an apartment house is to have it in the apartment house. Isn't that
you're right?
And you got to knock on the doors.
You got to make it easy for people to go.
No, it's not knocking on the doors because I've done a lot of that. Yeah. In fact, there was an ANC commissioner by the name of Ken Thielen, who later ran for the when he was chair of the ANC, I went to him and said, look, I want to help you and work with you to support your process. So he took me on going around and knocking on apartment doors. Jack and I have gone and knocked on apartment doors, at least I did, for the Latino elections that we had. I went and knocked on almost every apartment door. And it is really tough, unless you have a very good reason.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
So what I come back to is that you can't come in and say, it is different for...
They don't want to come in for...
And
I don't want people coming and knocking on my door.
Well,
it depends on the time, though.
You need to be introduced.
Ah, but if you have...
Absolutely.
The ANC1A... You're right. At one time, was moving its ANC meeting around the neighborhood, which is really kind of nice because it got people to know different parts of Columbia Heights.
So these would be the alternate meetings. And you don't have to have a business meeting every month, either. How many do we have to have?
Nine.
That's awesome.
I think it would make a regular mid-month meeting so people know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Ideally, it would actually be on a weekend.
Indeed. Saturday is the Saturday at noon is the only AMP has tried all kinds of different things, and the only one that works is Saturday at noon.
Saturday lunch.
You got to make sure what time.
Do you have lunch?
If there's food, people will come.
We don't have the money.
Saturday, you got to make sure what time, because people have their online schedule. You've got to make sure on Saturday if you're going to go on Saturday.
Don't mess around with my pro football.
You know? Somebody go play tennis or...
There's always something.
There always is.
And we have such a diversity of cultures here that none of us can use our personal experience and that of our friends to generalize.
And again, all of the commissioners don't have to be at all... Well,
we've been talking for about 90 minutes, which is what the original plan was for this. How much longer do we want to go? We want to go for another 10 or 15 minutes? I feel like we've gotten someplace.
Yeah, tell us where we are.
It sounds like we agree that besides the business meetings, regularly scheduled mid-month meetings.
Let's call them outreach meetings.
Outreach meetings.
Like we are engagement
but
meetings.
But we have to make it clear.
Yes.
That this is for the public to speak to us, not for us to hold another.
Our dialogue.
As she says, mid-month community meetings.
I love it. That's good. Or something like that. Neighbor meetings.
And I like neighbor because, in fact, there are about five different communities here.
Neighborhood meeting,
yes.
And the other thing we've all agreed on, I think, here is that we individual commissioners have to work hard at making sure that we are accessible so that people know that their first point of contact with DAZ is their commissioners.
But if you can't, you should make sure that your fellow commissioner can help you. And that's very important. You guys cannot fight amongst each other on this. I've seen a lot of bickering between your commissioners going on here, and you guys are fighting with each other, and if people see that, they're like, see, they're fighting against each other. And they don't like that.
Like a bunch of kids, they want us to have the... How can we...
They don't want the parents to be arguing.
Well, I think it's a matter in which we argue.
You must argue away from the kids. Please.
Part of the problem is that for an ANC commissioner, there's the number of us that have huge schedules and other commitments and don't have the time to spend much time between the meetings talking. And it really, it does take a lot of talking.
One
if you're
discussion of one is arguing at each other. You know, going at each other is not a healthy thing. And there's sometimes it's, you know, beyond respect. I think there's sometimes, perceived from over here, people saying, don't they respect each other?
It depends upon the culture.
I'm just saying it, what I see. I'm not judging. I'm not saying any which way, but this is what I hear.
I'm from a culture where you argue with your best friends.
But believe in negativity, yeah. Guys. Yeah. Negativity for you guys is the worst thing you guys can possibly get. You guys want to...
But it's personal. We shouldn't have
that. I understand that. Personal. I understand that. But you see, you have to keep your mind wide open on this. Don't take it personal. It is not personal.
Well, sometimes it is.
No, Greg, I understand. Okay? You have to keep a perspective on everything. And when somebody comes and looks straight into your eyes and tells you, you know, and passes you out or whatever, one ear out the other, deal with it another time. Because you cannot...
Let's talk about it. I don't want to argue about it with you here.
I disagree. What I'm saying is that you got to think positive. You got to make sure. If I'm going to try to sell something to you, I have to make sure that it's shining, it is working 100%, so you'll buy that.
Alberto, I have swallowed an awful lot of insults.
Fine. I'm sorry to bring it straight up to you.
But look, I've been arguing that we are close to working on a third wave, or ANC 3.0.
Reinventing the ANC.
Yes. So and we've made in the last 5 years immense progress. We've gone through a number of phases, and now we're looking at how to do that. We'll see in your inboxes this sort of sketch. The way that I've worked with for years and with boards and other groups, and I can give an explanation of where you go from things that are really important to establish the culture of the group. What is, you know, what are you really about? What's the nature of your character? What are you trying to do? And then you come down, missions you discover that are really large, important things that you're going to get some support on. Programs are things that you're going to continue to work on for a while. And then there are specific projects that come up that may be shorter.
Specific projects that you can have success on. Excellent. Really good.
Well, so I argue that you want to have some high-risk, high-gain ones.
Oh, yeah. Those are the bigger things, perhaps. But specific projects you can deliver on are really good. Any politician.
It seems like there's going to have to be some email communication amongst the members about what an agenda for the mid-month meeting and how to construct that. You know, that we talk about this. Also, I imagine someone's got to introduce it as an idea to the rest of the commission. How does that affect, or put all that to the side, just so we've got closure, how does what we've just agreed on, which I think is a really great idea to have a mid-month meeting, how does that affect the budget? And how does it affect the original reason we came together? Is that just something that we agree to just, you know, put in the holding pattern?
I don't see any connection at all.
Well, we're moving towards being able to do that. I argue that, as Jack says, it is not essential we pass the budget right now, but we'd be moving towards a process that is that way. I'd like to suggest that the mid-month meeting be like I've been part of very large physics departments with people that with enormous egos that war with each other. But the thing that held them together was that they would have a colloquia once a week. It was some places big ones once a month. But there was food beforehand. People would come early. You could come as late as you want to just hear the meeting. But much of the business was done informally. In the 30 minutes before and the 30 minutes after that people hung around, if we have it in there, if it is we declared a formal meeting, we can have the budget for snacks. Before and after that, we'll bring a lot of people in. So I'd like to suggest that we have in those meetings, then people can come and buttonhole us and ask us, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then we have mostly single topics, maybe once every 3 months. This is for the thing we had 4 or 5 years ago, Jack, you may remember, that we were going to have open forums once every 3 months and then targeted ones the other times.
Yeah, that was your plan. Right.
because there's there is good for that, but we may need more, that the that we have a chance to prepare for it, that we get staff that will help us prepare for it. I think this meeting has gone really well because we have staff that prepared us for this. And then we stay later. So we start at 6:30, perhaps we'll be gathering, maybe even 6:15 or so. People can come in. It's a community event, it's a neighborhood event. And then afterwards, some people will stay late, but we close the room, say it definitely at some time. Mm-hmm. And people know that but there's a chance after the meeting for people to get together and to talk and to explore issues that were raised that they didn't have a chance to really get into depth with. Something like that, I know, can bind together a large and latently polarized group. And I suggest we try to.
Well, I'll tell you this much, if you bring food to the table and drinks, the Latino community will definitely be there.
Yeah.
Especially if you shorten the business meeting.
Like 90 minutes.
Could be. Because people tend to expire, I've noticed, and it's at the end of the meeting, there's very few people.
I'm thinking about these mid-month meetings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it seems like that's another discussion about how to do a business meeting differently. So
our business meetings are really only 90 minutes long. Because we have the 30 minutes of discussion typically ahead of time and sort of setting up and all that. And then they tend to end pretty quickly.
I would distribute that public discussion throughout the meeting.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
Because we've been together already for a little bit more than an hour and a half, and we don't want to, we're probably not going to solve this right now.
Right.
Maybe that's another discussion, maybe at a business meeting, or maybe you guys can do that over email. We can definitely do this again. I certainly don't mind being part of it. But what are our next steps, considering that I think everybody in the room agrees that these mid-month meetings are a good idea. What are our next steps? Obviously, we have to talk to the other commissioners, and we have to, I think a resolution has to be introduced. Maybe
I don't see why a resolution
has to be
introduced.
It's just,
but I would think that every commissioner should come up with their pet themes that they want to
have a location
do. And locations. And locations. This is always a fallback. Well, not always.
Legally, we have to declare them as ANC meetings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In order to get the budget.
So that's why the mid-month helps.
Yes. So we will call it an ANC meeting.
Yes, we will.
But it doesn't have to be a business meeting.
No. From time to time, when emergencies present themselves, we can take up issues that occur mid-month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or have a special meeting.
And another next step is I'll put together these notes and I'll send them around so the folks that weren't here in particular to have a sense of what we can do.
But I think people know that I will be pressing to pass the straw man budget next meeting because I think there are some things, especially with Jane Zara and whatever, that are going to get very difficult if we don't do it. It won't mean anything because it's a straw man budget. I don't see any sense in delaying.
I do think that we may need to have another budget.
But this is just
because we have not yet resolved this big issue that Jack and I have introduced. He has said he wants. I think when we really got down to it, his heart is different. When he responds to his true knowledge of a reactive ANC, and I want one that finds the problems and opportunities and staffs to do.
I really don't see it as a budget problem because I think we've passed most of the staff things that we want to do up to now. But I do see a Jane Zara reaction to delaying a budget, and she would see it just as a tactic to stop her from doing any community grants. This is true.
That's how she will feel.
I predict that.
Okay.
And I suggest there's no harm in passing the straw man budget and then refining it as you go along.
If
we can't spend any money on issue A because we don't have a budget, then I will put up a resolution that we don't spend any money whatsoever until we get a budget.
I'm not sure that would pass.
I'm not sure who you've been talking to. Okay. We don't need to go there.
No, because you said and I want to clarify that you will support supplemental budgets, and this is not to be fixed
in stone. Absolutely. This is straw man. This is just simply pro forma, and so that we, on the books, we introduced it, we have it, and then we can change it.
I take that as a promise, a political promise,
that,
you will not, that you will not use the straw man budget to preclude something else.
I don't deal with stone.
Okay. You don't do what?
Deal with stone.
Yes, okay.
I write on water.
Now, let me suggest that I promised Neil that we would work on a web meeting in the next within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. You know, since I'm web incompetent.
You know, I need to direct you over really on this because.
So we may need to have. We have a number of committees. We have a lot of big issues.
Touch with
you know, I don't even know what committees we do have. What's the name of this one?
Getting us
hooked. So one that I tried to get you to chair.
What is it? What's the name of this one?
2 years ago.
What is it?
It's planning and consultation.
Yeah, definitely we're going to talk about that for sure. So,
you know, I would almost suggest that
we
just close down all committees and recreate ones as we need them. I don't think we need committees. We have special meetings. Why do we need committees?
Because I want also to be able to
see the great
and then send you
know, there are number some of people in the committee. You know,
there are some.
Yeah, is there a real reason?
Like
I don't know.
Yes, there are some.
Can you read my bad right hand running? That's Ananda 001@AOL.com.
If we're going to provide food, it's got to be immediate.
Oh, sure. Sure. And you can't provide meals. You can't provide
The auditors repassed where they said, this is what you can do.
Yes.
Nobody should need to do any more. And they were repassed.
Yes.
Maybe we could get businesses to donate some light refreshments.
They can. You certainly can.
Oh, I clarified with Gottlieb that they could give us thousands of dollars worth of food because it's only, we're limited to $1,000 from any one party.
At any one time?
In cash.
Oh.
In kind.
Oh. It's just tricky for the ANC to approach businesses for food. It's really tricky.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
That's
why what we've done is that we've given them essentially money to cover their expenses for the purposes, and then they can, without us prompting them, give us more substantial food that we have not paid for.
I mean, the bakery will give you leftover stuff if you want. You know.
Yes. So it's something that I think if we start to do, we will have not only Latinos, but also African Americans, and later we can start to crack the Asian
people of all kinds.
You have to be consistent.
Hungry people.
You have to be consistent. That's the trouble.
So, just as an FYI, Lillian Perdomo and her multicultural community service has offered to be our grants administrator and also to help on our light bookkeeping chores. I gave Jane a draft proposal that I wrote that Lillian asked me to write that she could give to her board. Her board has to approve it. The light bookkeeping piece, you know, Jack, probably you could probably walk them through that. I said it would be an hour or two a month and real simple, just basically reconciling checks and, you know, it would be real simple. All right, is there any objections to MCS doing that?
Let me all mention that the Business Association has engaged a bookkeeper for $20 an hour who's willing to take on other local chores.
She might do it for free. But
I know. Well, still, I think even if she'll do it for free, we should pay her for $20 an hour as being a... because we want to... We want people to have the reason to be reliable.
So, it's like the asking for food part. You know? You don't want people to... You don't want to pressure people to do things.
You don't want to cut into them. At least pay their expenses.
Just like musicians. Everybody wants to play.
It's a different relationship when somebody's paid to do the job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's super, yeah.
Very good.
So is there a general sense that the that we can start to plan more meetings at say starting at 6:30 with food and
I mean 6:30 could be here.
Well, you don't have to be there at 6:30.
Okay, I mean that's important.
Yeah.
Because if I have to be here to set up, then I have to be at your head of the meeting, and
no, you could be.
I'm looking at a $250 ticket already for parking out there
you today.
6:30. What?
No. You're supposed
You can be one of our attractions. See, Jack set up complicated.
I think that's good for business meetings. I don't think you have to do that for any other meetings.
And Albert here is really up to speed on this stuff.
I think this is good. I don't think you need to do everything else.
I think we shouldn't. We don't want to make it. We don't want people to have to use microphones.
Yeah.
We really want to make it
informal. For our informal meetings.
Well, yeah. For non-business meetings.
Yeah. Non-business.
So other business meetings, we call them, they are ANC meetings.
Sure.
Allows
sure, but there's business meetings, and then there's ANC meetings.
But there are, yes, there's business meetings. Good, I like that. So on these words.
Yeah. Business meetings should have the recording.
Let me see, since I suppose I'm the acting chair of this group, I want to formally thank Neil for all of his preparation.
Hey, Neil.
And for his great work for us.
We gave you a lot of trouble, but we stuck to it.
Jack is having a facilitator helps.
That we don't have to have somebody on the ANC actually chair the meeting. We just need someone to.
As a matter of fact, if you chair the meeting, you lose that. It takes you out of action.
Yes. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I need to write a check to Albert.
Okay, and I need to get you it turns out this part of the ULI and I know I'm gonna not be able to get things a year ago, but I've expenses. Also $600 for the website.
Yeah, I've got your email receipt for
is that all right?
I have a chance. Yours is bad as mine.
It's what I got. Just
I
bad.
I know. You can do it.
Well, Neil, I'd be curious on hearing your after the meeting debriefing. What do you think?
Well, I think it was a successful meeting in that we basically have solved, at least for the short term or the medium term, how to engage the public and get more public input. And I think I'll circulate our notes on what the beginning conversation of what good outreach might mean. And that includes all the things we talked about, including going to places like the Woodner, having kitchen table meetings or meetings in the on different streets or in the SMDs.
Home meetings.
As well as all the other things that we do, from newsletters to walking the streets, talking to people. I think that, another good idea that came out of this was that we need to, there's other people that we could get involved. The four Latinos, that just use stereotypically. There's probably those people that we already know that maybe we could do a better job of communicating with.
Just so that you guys
know. The dog walkers. If you let the dog walkers know and the chit-chatty ones, they're walking around talking to people, or you let some of the parents know they've earned play groups with the other kid. There's groups that, we could probably get those social butterflies.
I do think we're going to, in the long term, need to pay attention to these. What the research says is these issues of substantial and quality engagement with people.
Yeah.
And to build up a network of specialists that will, over 10 or 20 years, make, say, the fire department or the DCRA their focus.
Mm-hmm. So that there are two people that I can think right off the bat that I think would be very much so willing to help us out. One of them, believe it or not, is Marlenis.
Yes.
She'd be able to help us out. So would Von Heinz. somebody can approach him. I can talk to him, but somebody can really approach him, that he would be able to help.
Yes.
And then again, you know, we have Hades and we have Don Juan. Don Juan's, I think I can talk to him. I don't know how much of a heavy, you know, I don't know how much he's going to listen to me. But
I think I love the guy to death, but he will come in, and if he has his own issues, he will not be able to not dwell on them.
Okay, I misunderstood what you said just now, because
he has passionate issues that I think will make it difficult for him to operate as a chair or as a facilitator.
Well, I'm not saying. I'm talking about just as you, you know, just put the word out. That's all.
The word out.
Right.
Yes.
I'm not saying,
very definitely.
Yeah.
He has a huge network.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I mean, to start with, and Hades has a huge network.
Yes, you got.
And not just with the Spanish for me, but also with.
No, but we have to be careful with her right now because she was badly burned recently.
Badly burned on one thing, but badly burned on another.
I think she's going to come around, but let's do so with some delicacy. You told me the other night that she's going to call me and talk to me about what's been going on.
But there are also other people.
We can call
say
again?
There are other people that want to talk to.
Yes, I agree.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Good meeting, though. Thank you very much.
And you're going to, I think you agreed. It was informally stated you're going to, on some of these other issues, you can do the same thing, like the web and other things.
Yeah.
And we'll work together on that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Jack, what do you think?
No, I think that we made a real breakthrough there.
Tonight?
Yeah.
In our discussion?
Yeah, on I think both of these outcomes. That we need to have mid-month meetings. You know, these are reinventing your forms.
They're not mine. They're just what I've observed works.
I know, I understand, but this is what you had proposed a long time ago, and never really made them happen. So let's make them happen. And the other is this fundamental issue that is each commissioner is responsible for his S&D, and people should know who the commissioner is and be able to approach that commissioner instead of trying to, thinking that they have to come to our meetings and get interesting kind of meetings.
I think we have 2.5 commissioners that can do that.